everyone, welcome to Reach Higher Riverside, where we share all Reach Higher stories happening in the greatest county in the nation. My name is Priscilla Grijalva, and I work at the best high school in the world. We have an interview with Dr. Carl Cohn. He is a professor at Claremont Graduate University and the podcast host for Schools on the Front Lines. Here are a few statements about Dr. Cohn from some of his friends. Dr. Loretta Whitson, who is the executive director of the California Association of School Counselors, stated, Carlos Santana pronounces that there is no greater reward than working from your heart and making a difference in the world. Truly, Dr. Carl Cohn has been and continues to be one of the most influential individuals in California's educational system. I cannot help but think about his uncanny ability to connect with others is directly correlated to his knowledge, awareness, and skills he gained through his training and experience as a school counselor. His impact on California's education system cannot be overestimated. I marvel at his interpersonal skills and how with heart he has led school and state stakeholders towards more whole child approaches to educating our children and our youth. Danielle Duarte, who is a former president of the California Association of School Counselors, stated, Carl is a phenomenal educational leader who continues giving back as a superb mentor to support the next generation, and I'm lucky to benefit from his knowledge. The school counseling profession is especially lucky to have him as an advocate. Thank you, Loretta and Danielle. On our final episode of the year, join President of the California Association of School Counselors, Josh Godinez, and I, as we highlight some of the top 2020 Reach Higher moments on our next episode. I'm excited to share this interview with the legend, Dr. Carl Cohn. I hope you enjoy it. Great. Hi, everyone. I'm with an amazing educator, Dr. Carl Cohn. If you could tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved with school counseling.
Sure, Priscilla. I was studying to be a priest for 9+ years, and high school, seminary college. I was in second year theology when I decided to leave. And this was 1968. So for those of your listeners who are old enough, 1968 was an extraordinary year. Martin Luther King had been assassinated, as had Robert Kennedy. So I left the seminary 3 days after Richard Nixon was elected president of the United States. And I was answering Robert Kennedy's call to make a difference on the urban scene. And so I decided that I wanted to be a school counselor in urban education. And in those days, you could get an emergency teaching permit if you had a bachelor's degree plus 6 units. So I started out as a long-term sub teaching social studies at Dominguez High School in Compton. I enrolled in a master's in counseling and pupil personnel credential program at Chapman, what was then Chapman College in Orange. After my experience at Dominguez High School, I got a regular appointment as a school counselor at Long Beach Poly High School, which is the flagship high school of the Long Beach School District and the place where I was born and raised. So getting an assignment as a counselor at Poly High School, I saw that as absolutely the pinnacle of my career, and it gave me a tremendous opportunity to work with young people. I thought I had a gift for listening carefully to what was going on with teenagers. And at the time, Poly High School had a lot of challenges, including the fact that there had been riots there in the late 60s. And in the spring of my first year there, there was another major riot, which was in April. And it ended up with the Long Beach Police Department deployed on our campus for the rest of the school year.
Wow.
One of the things that grew out of that experience, in addition to all of the additional security that followed the riot, we also thought about what can we do to make sure that youngsters actually get along with each other. So it's more than just security. It's also intergroup relations, human relations. So one of the things we proposed was a mountain human relations camp up at Big Bear, where we would take, this was at the time was a 10 through 12 high school, where we could take the 10th graders and actually give them an experience in human relations. And we call the camp Poly North, and it still exists today. And an example of how school counseling and the skills that school counselors have can really influence what goes on in a school. So I spent 6 years there at Poly High School and basically was seen as the go-to person in terms of human relations, campus climate, a lot of those things that were really critical to the life of the school. As a counselor, I was turned to influence what was going on. So that really influenced me. And those were some of the happiest days of my life and my career there on a daily basis, listening to and working with teenagers.
Well, that's such a huge career change to go from a priest to a school counselor. but I'm glad that you had that experience. And as far as the camp, is it still around that students can access it? Or
how students still can access it. And when it first started, it was required for every student to have that weekend experience. And I think maybe they're more selective now about the number of students. And of course, over the years, it's changed into a grades 9 through 12 high school.
Now, with everything that you went through as far as talking about the riots and everything, can you share some advice with our listeners on working with the administration? Any tips you can give school counselors?
Sure. I always think it's important to carve out areas of expertise that perhaps others don't have. Try and solve the problems that others can't. And so sometimes getting out of your zone and taking on challenges that might be non-traditional, I think are very important. So when I was there as a counselor, there were some counselors who were playing very traditional roles, programming kids, college advising, that sort of thing. But I think if you really want to enhance your profile, take a look at what are those things that no one else in the school is good at addressing, and carve out an area of expertise for yourself and something that actually uses those skills that you as a counselor are uniquely prepared for.
So for example, your skills that you used were obviously, like, you were a good listener. So you were listening to your admin and advocating for all your students. So.
And the other thing, I wasn't afraid of the community that I served. And so Long Beach Poly is in the heart of the inner city. And so establishing rapport with community leaders, with law enforcement, with all of those elements beyond the school campus was really critical and important. We had an entity called the Poly Community Interracial Committee, and I served on that. And that was an advisory group that had the authority to actually report directly to the Board of Education about what was going on at that high school. So where some faculty and staff might be reluctant to get involved in something like that, I always said yes to those kinds of things that sort of broadened my portfolio.
Yeah. Well, that's really good that you did that and that you weren't afraid. And I used to work in another school district. It was my first year as a school counselor. I won't say which one, but it wasn't in our county. And I remember there were like a lot of fights and riots going on and stuff. And I remember going out in the quad and I got sprayed by mace from security. And it was my first time experiencing that. But what I learned from that whole thing was, number one, don't get sprayed by mace accidentally. Number two was that if you build relationships with students, it doesn't matter who the student is. They're going to support your work and they trust you if you can just show you care. That's really important. So I never was afraid, and I truly do love our students all across the board. So I do agree with you. And can you, as school counselors, collaborate in getting more direct services for students? Can you give examples on how we can do that? How can we get more direct services for students?
Sure. I think it's really important, especially during difficult times, to sit down and collaborate with school psychologists, with those in the community who have behavioral science backgrounds and skills. Sometimes a student would come to me with a problem or a challenge that I thought, you know what, this is much more critical than I have the skill set at. But knowing what's available in the community in terms of psychological services, clinical psychology, those kinds of things became really important. So being a resource for whatever challenges youngsters throw at you, depending upon what the situation is, becomes critical and important. Everything from youngsters who may be suicidal, this was a long time ago, but we actually had a young women's group where they could talk about issues around birth control, that sort of thing. And for the 1970s, that was a big deal, but providing a space for whatever youngsters need in terms of those services that might not be readily available on campus become really important.
Yeah, that's so true. And can you share your story about, it was a story you shared at the California Association of School Counselors Conference that was just virtual in October. I loved hearing that story. Maybe you could share that with our listeners.
Sure. I had been appointed the new executive director of a new state agency called the California Collaborative for Educational Excellence. Ken Young was the Riverside County superintendent. And he said, "Carl, we have this district out on the California-Arizona border, the Palo Verde School District. And it's been the lowest performing school district in Riverside County for 20 years. And every type of state and federal intervention has gone on out there, but they persist. They remain the lowest performing district in the county. Would you go out there and with your people and see what you can do?" And so I did. I went out there and we took the approach not that we're experts, not that we have the solutions, but we took the approach that we need to learn what this community is all about if we're actually going to be helpful. And so we went there and we found out a couple things about Blythe, California. Number one, it's driven by agriculture and the presence of two state prisons, Ironwood and Chuckawalla Valley. And so in addition to learning about the agribusiness, we also went and visited the prison. And it was fascinating talking to inmates about what they had experienced in terms of their schooling. And then we listened carefully to what was going on with teachers and administrators and how we could be helpful to them rather than our coming in there with a top-down prescription formula for what they ought to do to get better. And it was a very gratifying experience. And when the California dashboard first came out, Palo Verde, that school district, was no longer the lowest performing district in that county. And I believe it was the hard work of people at the local level, but also the approach that we took, that we are not top-down experts who are going to tell you what to do, but we're going to work alongside you in order for things to get better with regard to student outcomes. And one of the things that I'm proudest of is that we sent a team from that district to the University of Michigan. The best math educator in the country runs an elementary math lab there. Wow. Her name is Deborah Ball, and she's a higher ed person who can actually teach K-12 kids in a laboratory setting with everybody watching. And these are kids who haven't done well in mathematics. So not only bringing that team from Palo Verde to the University of Michigan, we also brought Deborah Ball to the California-Arizona border to directly do professional development for the teachers there. And I think it's that context of, again, we know you have a difficult and challenging assignment, but we want you to get better and we're going to bring you the best professional help. So part of that's a change in how California as a state is looking at school improvement. And that was a direct result of Governor Brown's philosophy that if things are going to get better for kids who historically have been underserved, they're going to get better because the people closest to them get better, not because of expertise coming from a state capital or Washington, D.C. So the experience with Ken Young and the Riverside County Office of Ed was an important one in the launch of this new school improvement agency.
Yeah, I met Ken Young a few years ago at an AVID conference in San Diego. Sure. He's such an amazing person. And I know he listens to our podcast, so I'm sure he will be happy to hear that. so we appreciate your work that you started over in Riverside County and all the way down to Blythe.
Sure.
So thank you for that. Now that we have a new leadership and a new president, where do you see education headed?
Obviously, I think it's headed in a good direction and the right direction. Joe Biden is an excellent listener who has empathy and compassion and a wife who is a full-time teacher. And so I think the Biden administration is going to do very well following the Trump-DeVos tenure in doubling down on support for teachers, counselors, his platform and his proposals include dramatic increases, tripling the investment in Title I, more support for counselors, psychologists, lowering class size. And I think the most important thing will probably be a new tone and a new emphasis on traditional public schools as the vehicles for closing the achievement gap, making sure that those who historically have been underserved are in fact better served. So as I look at the Biden platform, I'm very hopeful. One of the things that the incoming First Lady has indicated that she plans to teach, to continue teaching. And so our new president will hear from a teacher on a daily basis as to what's going on with students, real students. And I think that can't be anything but a good thing for public education.
Yeah, I agree. And I know they're big supporters of former First Lady Michelle Obama's Retire Initiative.
Sure.
So that's awesome too. So excited.
Reach Higher. I went to a couple of the events and I'm so impressed with the people from the Obama administration that were involved in that, but plus the hard work of the California Association of School Counselors who were also involved in that initiative. Very impressive.
Yeah, it is. And I'm a huge fan, as you can tell. I have a podcast called Reach Higher Riverside. But yeah, I do support the work of Reach Higher. And I'm glad that they're continuing. They're now at Common App. So if you guys haven't heard of them, you need to Google them because Reach Higher is a great initiative. What is your why for this work?
Basically, when I studied to be a priest, I wanted to save everybody. And now setting that aside, I still want to save everybody. And so my why, I came from a very humble background, single parent household, living in poverty. My mom raised six of us by herself. She was a victim of domestic violence. So for me, the why is, who are those other kids who are out there who need an opportunity, who need a decent education, who need someone to listen to them, to give them a chance? I grew up poor in the 1950s, and there was a whole bunch of things that were available to me as a poor kid. And I really worry with all the poor kids that we have today, if there's enough that's out there and available. So my big why is whenever I can be engaged in work that's designed to rescue historically underserved kids, that's all the motivation that I need. That's where I want to be. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. Is there anything else you would like our listeners to know?
Well, just that I'm really impressed with the amount of collaboration that's taking place, especially during the pandemic among school counselors, school psychologists, school social workers, to try and bring a laser-like focus on the mental health of students. I think that's critical. and important. And more, we've got to figure out not only how we can make distance learning better, but also how we can reopen for in-person schooling in ways that will get at these issues that students are struggling with.
Yeah, that's true. At the end of our podcast, we like to do the Sunshine Spotlight. Can you name at least one thing that's made you happy this week?
Sure. So for the past 20 plus years, I've been volunteering in a first grade class at Colin Powell School on the North Long Beach Compton border. And I work with a hardworking teacher there and with some amazing first graders. And obviously I haven't been in that classroom since last March. So the kids that I worked with have moved on to the second grade. This outstanding teacher has a new group of first graders, but she shared with me, sent me a screenshot. She was doing her distance learning and she got a notice from the office that someone had dropped off a gift for her. And so she went to the office and the gift was a $50 gift certificate to Trader Joe's from the mom of one of her students, Ethan, a first grader, thanking her for how hard she was working to support her child's education and wanted her to have this gift certificate as a token of appreciation. So that's about the nicest thing that I've heard this week, and it celebrates a hardworking teacher who absolutely is doing her best to educate kids under difficult circumstances, and like everybody, is looking forward to the day that they'll all be back in person.
Yeah, I love that story. It's such a great story.
Sure.
For me, I guess a few happened this past week. A few of our former students in our district were highlighted by Better Make Room and Reach Higher for being a first generation college student. And also one of our current students took over a Better Make Room story, and just seeing her give tips to her high school students on how to apply to college and get through their senior year was such an honor to see her. She's grown so much this year. And I just really love that, to see our students highlighted and celebrated. So that was my highlight. And
sure. It sounds great.
It was great. And I know you have an amazing podcast. I've been listening to it. So I wanted to give you a chance to plug it in if anybody wants to follow your podcast.
Sure. So Schools on the Front Lines is a special limited podcast series that I'm the host for. And it's supported by EdSource, the California media outlet, and the Ball Frost Group, which is a Sacramento lobbying firm. And they had the idea that we needed to capture the voices of school leaders in terms of how they're dealing with the pandemic. Closing schools, reopening schools, trying to get the best services to kids under difficult circumstances, working with the community. So we've had 13 episodes so far, and it's been superintendents, it's been leaders of state associations, it's been Superintendent Tony Thurman, it's been a national thought leader in Washington, D.C., talking about what the Biden administration will propose with regard to education. It's just been a lot of fun. And it's an ongoing record when historians come around 50 years from now, it actually captures the voices of those people who were on the front lines of this extraordinary worldwide pandemic. So it's been a lot of fun, and I'm grateful to the sponsors for this, and I'm grateful to the people that I've been able to interview in our 13 episodes.
Yeah, and you've even had Loretta Whitson from the California Association of School
Counselors. That's right.
On there, so I heard that was good. Sure. Where can they find your podcast? Is it on all channels?
Yeah, you can find it at edsource.org or Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, iCloud, wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice. Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Cohn. I appreciate you being on the podcast. If you could just say goodbye to everyone out there listening.
Thank you, Priscilla. Goodbye. Good luck to everybody.
All right. Bye, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Reach Higher Riverside. You can follow us on Twitter at RH Riverside. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Reach Higher Riverside. You can also subscribe to our iTunes or Google Play Music and give us a rating. Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate all of you tuning in. And as Michelle Obama would say, when they go low, we reach higher.